Welcome back to Leafs Lunch on TSN 1050. Julia Tesheri and Mike DiStefano with you. Leafs coming off a big win, but have an off day today. So we're going to go around the league a little bit and bring in one of our favorites, Julian McKenzie, Calgary Flames reporter for The Athletic. How you doing, Julian?
Doing very well. Yourselves?
Good. Well, Mr. New York Times, pretty crazy 24 hours for you, sir.
Hey, look, I'm just happy they, I'm thankful for our corporate overlords, even if they just posted, just the story there that links to the Athletic piece. But hey, you know what? I'm just happy that the New York Times thought high enough of me to share the story. So thank you, New York Times.
Well, it was a great story, and we had a chance to read it and dig into it. And for those who don't know, Julian put out a piece on The Athletic, and it was a deep dive into the trade that sent Mac Chuck to Florida, Huberto and Uyghur coming back to Calgary. Awesome piece. Really loved the insight. Like, what part about the story while you were writing it and speaking to all the individuals involved surprised you most to hear about?
I think the part that surprised me the most was how, I don't want to say premeditated, but the idea that Jonathan Huberto's future was in question. There is a part of the story that Huberto kind of alludes to where he mentions that his agent Alan Walsh and Bill Zito may have been talking about an extension, and then it doesn't really come out that way, and then it ends up with him being traded. And Jonathan kind of just mentions to me that, like, you know what, like, I felt like Zito was probably just trying to say that just to kind of make me not think about it. I think that was probably the most surprising thing. I think some of the stuff from Tkachuk about how he wanted to leave and how that all kind of came about, it was good to kind of put, like the timeline together, but I'm not sure how many people would look at that and be like, oh, well, I learned something new out of it. But I think in terms of Jonathan Huberto and how he processed everything from an emotional standpoint, that was very surprising to me. That was very interesting to me, just as a guy who gave his all to a previous organization and then apparently from his standpoint says he only heard like 10 words from his GM and then is trying to figure out, like, you know, going to Calgary and if that's going to be his full-time place, and getting to a point where he goes from, wow, like, I'm being jettisoned from my old team to this new one, to getting to a point where he realizes that staying in Calgary for the long term is the best move I could do. I think that's the most interesting and most surprising part of all of this for me.
I thought it was hilarious when I was reading the piece and how he found out where he was, talking about how he was like basically sipping beers in the rink parking lot with his boys at like 11 o'clock at a summer skate. It was just so relatable to me to hear Huberto talk about that's what he was doing on a Saturday night. Was it Saturday or Friday night? One of the two. It was a weekend night, and he was just enjoying himself on the Friday night.
Yeah, what's funny? Like, I think we could all kind of think about what we were doing on that. Because, it's the middle of the summer.
Yeah.
Like, free agency, I guess it started, a couple of days before. But, it's Friday night. You're not thinking anyone's going to make some kind of trade. I was hanging out with a friend for a good chunk of that day. And I had just dropped them off at their apartment. And then I go into my car. And I'm like, all right, let me just check Twitter and see what happened. And then I saw the trade went down. I was like, oh, my God. Like, that happened? Like, that was just, like, that just happened. And it just announced, like, now? Like, I won't say I was losing my mind, but I was just really surprised when I came across that news.
So my story is kind of funny. I was at a bachelor party in Collingwood. You guys, Collingwood people, you've been up there for a couple weekends?
In the winter, I've seen it.
Okay, so
never been to Collingwood.
So there's a spot called Rusty's. Pretty gritty place.
Okay.
It's called Rusty's. And I remember being there. It was my brother-in-law's bachelor party. So you can imagine how gooned up we were at the time. And I remember looking at my phone and seeing the notification and just being in awe. My face dropped when I saw it.
Yeah.
And I'm just sitting there. You know that meme of of the girl, like, speaking to the guy, and then it's, oh, this happened. But you know that meme? That was basically me at the bar trying to talk to all of my buddies and friends. Be like, guys, you'll never look what just happened. I'm, like, showing my phone to everybody at the bar who wanted to look, and just in complete awe and disbelief at the trade that went down. So that was my experience of that Tkachuk Huberto transaction that went down. We're chatting with Julian McKenzie, Calgary Flames reporter for The Athletic. I think when the trade did go down initially, I pegged the Flames as the winner of the trade, Julian. I'm not sure how you felt about that. Maybe you felt it was opposite, but I feel like after watching Kachuk get off to such his fast start, an electric start, he's been the catalyst for Florida. And maybe we haven't seen Huberto hit that level that he was expected to yet. Do you feel any different about the trade today than maybe you would have back in July?
I still think it's a bit too soon. I think the fact that the Flames also locked up Huberto and Weegar to contracts means that any judgment that we make on it right now, even if one side looks really good, that the other is still too soon to really make. I will say this. Looking at how the Flames are right now, I think one of the things they need is a proven top six finisher at the end of the day. And they could really use a guy like Matthew Tkachuk, who's able to score goals, convert at high danger chances. And while he is a bit of a pest to other teams, he's a guy that I think if he's on your team, fans will pretty much like. So it's kind of funny that like they unfortunately had to part ways with a player of Matthew Tkachuk's caliber. And they did get a good pass distributor. I know he's not off to a good start so far, but at his best, he is capable of making plays happen in Jonathan Huberto. They get a guy, Mackenzie Weegar, who should help make the defense better than what it was supposed to be last year. But I guess it just hasn't really worked out the way, not necessarily because it's those players' fault. It's just, I think it's a combination of a bunch of different things. But I think the two things, I think just the fact that, you know, Huberto's there and he got the praise that he got, like I think a lot of people naturally would put expectations on him, but also the fact that Weegar being there, you'd think there'd be a lot less issues at the back end. Think that it wouldn't be in a situation where they'd be winning game 6-5 against the Los Angeles Kings, right? It's really early, and I can imagine for those guys, it's still going to take them a lot of time for them to really get adjusted to this new defensive system. It's just so early to just determine whether or not who wins this trade. But I can imagine if you are on the Florida side of things, why you might point to that side because of how good of a start Tkachuk has had.
Yeah, it is early, and when you really shake up a team like that, it's hard to evaluate until the guys really get to know one another. You mentioned the way that Calgary was able to lock up Huberto and Weegar. How much do you think just the personal touch of the GM going to visit Montreal? I read a quote in your article, Alan Walsh, saying it was a spot that he felt wanted and that he felt valued. How much do you think that tied into Huberto extending, especially the way the things ended in Florida?
I think that meant everything. I think for him, a guy who went through what he went through with his breakup with Florida.
It sounded like a breakup. Like, that's a good word for it. It really did sound like that. It's emotional.
Yeah, it sounded like a breakup to me. I can't think of any other situation where I've had a significant other just tell me 10 words and say, get out of my life. But, like, it's pretty tough for him to go through. But I think for him to be in a position where your new GM, you know, says, you know what, I'm just going to give you a little break. You know, I'm not going to inundate you with my phone calls immediately. And I'm going to make the effort to meet you on your home turf, in this case in Montreal. They went to Bar George, apparently. I still have never been there, but maybe when I go back. But, like, the fact that, you know, he, at least from Bradshaw Living's viewpoint, he was trying to get a sense of what makes him tick and just trying to just make him feel comfortable, I think that plays into it. But also, we can't discount the fact that if Jonathan Huberto entered this season as a pending UFA with all the pressure already that comes with being an NHL player, but could you imagine if he had the stats that he had right now in a new city and didn't have a contract locked up? I mean, I think people are worried about that from another standpoint, but I think in that alternate universe, a lot of people would be asking a lot of questions. Or if he was even doing really well. Like, one thing I asked Alan Walsh about, and it never ended up going into the story. I actually never thought about putting it into the story. I straight up asked him, like, you know, like, hey, like, there's, if he had been an unrestricted free agent and, like, you know, he went through the season, like, there are people in Montreal who would be calling and be like, hey, is there a possibility that that's going to happen? And, like, I won't go into what Alan said, but, like, it's, That there's a whole alternate universe where all these people are descending on Jonathan Huberto about his future. And I think that also weighed very much on why he ultimately decided to sign long-term with the Flames, on top of the fact that they were building to win.
We're chatting with Julian McKenzie of The Athletic. And Julian, last we spoke, the team had gotten off to a franchise best 5-1 start to the season. And then it went south pretty quick after that. It's since, you know, leveled out a couple of wins here of late. But what kind of was wrong? What happened to the Calgary Flames from the first couple of weeks of the season and then the next few that didn't go so well?
Man, I think it's a combination of a few things. I think if you look at some of the last few games, especially the last six, the Flames have found a way to fix the fact that they're not strong starters. I think in the last six consecutive games, they've scored first. So they've been able to play well. It's just that they've come up against these teams who, when the chips have been down against them, they find ways to amp up the pressure and get shots on net and eventually turn them into goals. And the Calgary Flames to this point have not found a way to properly shut the door when the opposition is descending on them. I think of a win they had over the Pittsburgh Penguins in October, I want to say. And that was the last win they had before that win the streak started. And I remember asking Daryl Sutter straight up, like, do you think that's the best 60-minute effort that your team has put forth to this point in the year? And he's like, well, we allowed 21 shots in the second period. Are you kidding? Like, no. And that just goes to show, like, you know, one, they were trying to be perfectionist at that time, but two, like, they recognized from that point on, when they were still winning games, that they needed to find a way to shut down the opposition for the entirety of the game and not give them any breathing room. That 6-5 game I mentioned with regards to the Los Angeles Kings, it was 6-3 at one point. And in that second period, I want to say, Los Angeles only had 4 shots on net. I think they scored in that period, but they still only got 4 shots on net. If they go through that and the Flames find a way to shut them down in the third period, that is a positive step in the right direction. But even throughout this losing streak, even into now, as they're starting to get out of it and they're trying to put some wins together, I want to say, even if it's a little bit encompassing and it, you know, you account for the defense and you account for Jacob Markstrom, that I think is the biggest, that is the most notable thing I want to point out with the Calgary Flames as of now that they need to fix.
So who do they need more from, Julian, in order to get out of this? Is it Jacob Markstrom? He hasn't been off to a super hot start. Is there somebody else that you have pegged?
Mangiapane's only got 3 goals.
Yeah, that's your guy.
Yeah.
Andrew Mangiapane, I think against the Kings, like, broke a lengthy goal drought. I'll say this. I don't know if it's fair to put more pressure on him and Dylan Dubé. Two guys who were on Nazem Kadri's line to start the year, and Nazem Kadri went off to a really good start. And those two were playing really well. And then they both went on points and goal droughts. I don't know if it's fair to put more pressure on those guys more than a Jacob Markstrom. But I will say that it is more than fair to apply any kind of pressure on a Jacob Markstrom. I still think that from what he looked like in the first week of the season to now, he's at least a little bit better. But the stats also do not back up that he's been a good goaltender for much of the year. He's still a good goalie. It's just there's a lot left to be desired when it comes to his play, and he'll have moments where he'll make an incredible save, and he's done that over the last few games. But having games where you're allowing 5 goals, you can't have that for the type of style that this team plays. And I think it's more than fair to expect more from Jacob Markstrom, but it's also fair to look at the goal scorers as well. They've noticed that their chances are going up, but they need more production from Elias Lindholm and Tyler Toffoli, the guys who have actually stepped up in the last little while. That's pressure applied to Huberto too, and the way that he's been playing as well. And I still think they need a finisher to really kind of ramp up their offensive efforts, but there's a lot to go around. But I think it's more than fair if you want to apply criticism to a guy like Jacob Markstrom.
I have a final one for you before you go, Julian. How nerve-wracking, 1 to 10, is it to ask Daryl Sutter a question right now? Or has it eased up with a couple wins?
I'm always going to be on 12 for me because yeah. I don't like the idea of asking a question and then having the possibility of being dunked on. I remember I asked
him. You don't want to be that guy.
I asked him a couple weeks ago if Jacob Markstrom was starting, and I feel like he eased up on me when he said, like, well, you're new here, but don't ask me those types of questions, you know? Like, don't
I heard that clip. I heard that clip.
Yeah, yeah. There were so many people after that who, like, came up to me and said, man, you know, everybody goes through that, man. It's okay. It's a rite of passage, man.
Oh, yeah,
and,
totally.
You know, it's funny because, like, people bringing that up is worse than if, like, I had just gone through it and, like, quote-unquote, suffered in silence. Like, it just was worse than that people tried to make me feel
it's
better.
So much worse. Like, don't feel bad for me, guys. This makes it so much worse.
Let's just move on. Move past it, all right? It happens.
Seriously.
Let's get through it. Yeah.
That's funny. Hey, did you happen to get lucky and make the Florida trip? You out there right now? You got Tampa tomorrow, Florida on Saturday, soaking up the sunshine?
I'm going to Florida on Friday. I'm not going to go for the Tampa game, but I will be in the building for the Florida Panthers game. So I will be taking advantage of the Rays. I'm starting to pack my bag right now, getting out of the snow. It's funny seeing all my friends in Montreal being like, oh, we're getting snow for the first time. And I'm like, we got that a month ago.
Yeah, we are experiencing our first big snow day of the year, I guess you could say, today here in Toronto as well. But yeah, I guess you're now that you're out in Calgary, they get that a little bit sooner.
Commercials gotcha.
Tough. But lucky enough, you'll be leaving, going to the sunshine this weekend, and that should be an electric game. Flames and Panthers. It's an afternoon game, though, I think.
Oh,
I think I saw it's like a 4 o'clock start or something.